This morning, we're going to spend time in chapter 7, in verses 7 through 12 that Brother Jonathan shared with us. And I want to talk about this idea of ask, seek, and knock. Over the last several Sundays, we have been looking at the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gives unto us. And we learn a great deal about the kind of people God wants us to be, the kind of Christians that He would have us to be. Very practical, as He touches on so many different subjects. And this morning, we see Him talking to us about these ideas. You keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep knocking. Now, there are three things that I want us to focus on this morning. And the first one is simply this. The Lord desires us to ask, seek, and knock. I know that all of our young people know that great song that we sing at camp and at our devotionals. And many of us are familiar with that beautiful song. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. But folks, it's more than just a song. These are thoughts that our Lord gives unto us, encouraging us to seek His ways and to desire to become more and more the people God wants us to be drawing ever nearer to Him. Let's talk about these ideas individually. First of all, that idea of asking. You know, what we see is that we are to be constant in our prayers. God wants us to be praying to Him all the time. Now, I know not a literal 24 hours a day, but throughout our days, we are going to God constantly, and we are seeking His ways. Look in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1 on through verse 7 with me for just a moment. Jesus is the one doing the talking here, and Luke records this. And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We don't give up. We don't grow weary in our asking, in our prayers. Saying, then there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard men, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Notice she wouldn't give up. And that's what Jesus is trying to encourage us to do in our prayers. Don't faint. Don't give up. Continue. Constant in prayer. Keep asking. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. How much greater is God than an unjust judge? If an unjust judge will give into someone's plea, if they continue earnest in it, if they faint not, how much more so will our God, who desires to give good things unto us, hear and answer our prayers? So we're to be constant in our prayers. We need the Lord's help every day to live for Him. Every day. The psalmist understood that in Psalm 5, verses 1 through 3. You see the psalmist expressing this thought. Give ear to my words, O Lord. consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. This psalmist understood, here's how you start your day. You spend time in prayer to God because we need God, not only in the morning, but at the noon and in the evening and when we pillow our heads at night. Every step of the way, we want God to be with us. I came across this little prayer. Maybe you've seen it before, but I think it kind of sums up the way that most of us go through our days. It said, "Dear Lord, so far I have done all right. I haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm really glad about that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of this bed. And from then on, I'm going to need a lot of help." You ever feel that way? I do pretty good. People will ask me sometimes, "Are you behaving?" And I usually say, "I do really well when I'm sleeping." You know, we can do pretty good when you're sleeping. But how about the rest of the day? Well, folks, we need God with us all the time. And so the writer encourages us, you keep asking. You be constant in your prayers unto the Father. Now, we have to understand, God hasn't promised whatever you ask, I'm going to give you. But what He has promised is when you ask in accord with my will, it shall be given to you. 1 John chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15 tell us, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him." Christians, let's not go through a single day without spending a great amount of time in prayer to God. He wants us to be asking. But not only does He want us to be asking, He wants us to be seeking, and He wants us to seek the things of God. To have that in the forefront of our minds, that's our number one priority as we think about seeking. And there's a diligence here in this idea of seeking. It's asking, but it's putting that into practice now. There are several passages throughout the Bible that speak to us of this idea of seeking the things of God or seeking God Himself. Look in Psalm 27 in verse 4. And folks, if you kind of want a theme verse for your life, here's a beautiful passage. The psalmist says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Isn't that a beautiful passage? He's saying, here's the one thing in life that I am going to seek above everything else. I want to be in the Lord's house. I want to be part of His family. And I am going to seek His ways. And I am going to walk after Him. That's the kind of seeking that God wants us to do. In Isaiah 26 and verse 9, the prophet would tell us, "With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." What he's saying is, I am going to seek you always, always throughout my life. God is going to come first. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. I love this. At the middle part, it picks up and it says, "For it is time to seek the Lord." That's what he was telling Israel. It's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. I hope that we understand today that it is time to seek the Lord. If you're not a member of the church, if you're not yet a Christian, we want you to know heaven is saying it is time to seek the Lord. Don't wait for one of these days, or we'll get to it sooner or later. Those days may never come. Listen to the prophet. It is time to seek the Lord. We need to seek the things of God. Colossians 3 and verse 1. "If ye then be risen with Christ." Christian, isn't that us? Isn't that us? We were buried with him. The old man was put to death. We were baptized into his death. We were raised from that watery grave to walk in newness of life. We're the ones who are raised with him. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." And so he tells us, let's be constant in our asking, and let's seek the things of the Lord. And then he says, we've got to keep knocking. We got to keep knocking. We need to be people who don't give up and who keep pursuing the things that God wants us to pursue. Look at this in Luke chapter 11 and verse 5 beginning. "And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." What's happening is he won't let him go back to sleep because he keeps knocking. He's not going to stop until he gets what he needs. And Jesus is telling us, you keep knocking. And again, just think how much greater God is than this friend. "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Now, we talk about that a little bit, and you think about the idea of asking and seeking and knocking. A moment ago, there was a picture of a dog chasing a car, and everybody has seen that. You know, have you ever asked the question, wonder what the dog would do if he caught the car? What's he going to do with it? We've got to make sure that what we're asking about, what we're seeking, what we're knocking, what we're diligent, it's worthwhile. Maybe I have this great goal that I am going to have the most beautiful house in the whole city. I mean, inside it's going to be a showplace. Outside, lawn and garden, just, I mean, not a thing out of place. If I do that, if I achieve that, what then? What then? Was it worth it? Maybe you get in a magazine, you know, maybe there's an article about you. Maybe people go by and ooh and aw. But is that what we want in life? Maybe I can do that with my body. I'm going to be Mr. Universe or Miss America, and I'm going to have the greatest body anybody can. Work on it all the time. Then what? What's going to happen to that body? You know, just make sure that what we are pursuing is worthwhile, and the things of God are worthwhile. So you ask and you seek and you knock so that we can become closer to our God. This fella, I don't know if you've heard of him before or not, and I don't know that I'll pronounce his name properly. I call him Fridtjof Nansen. He's from Norway, or he was. He was an explorer during the late 1800s. And when he was a young man, his greatest goal was to be the first person to get to the North Pole. He didn't make it. He was stopped about 265 miles short of it. He did spend time traversing across Greenland. And he was the first to do that. But in the late 1800s, he did that. He had a ship. But the ship couldn't go any further. And so he and another man set off on that journey to the North Pole. Nobody heard from them for weeks, for months. People assumed that they were dead. But for about 9 months, they survived. And he was found the next spring, he and his companion. And they asked him how it was that he was able to survive. And he said this: "I just kept telling myself, I can take one more step." And you know, as we go through our lives, that's all God expects us to do. Just one more day, just one more hour, one more moment, just one more step to keep going, because we're never going to give up in our service to the Lord. So you keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep knocking. Jesus goes on then, and he tells us that the Father is the one who knows how to give what is best. He explains that in verses 9 through 11 of Matthew 7. "Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" If earthly fathers can give good gifts, how much more so will our Heavenly Father give those things that are for our good, that are for our betterment? And so here's another reason to keep asking and seeking and knocking in our service unto the Lord. Christ wants everyone to know of the love of God, and he wants them to know that God loves them. You know, the devil does a really good job of convincing people God doesn't care about you. A lot of people have been convinced that if God really loved me, I wouldn't be going through the things that I'm going through. Well, we need to understand that the things that we go through here, it's part of being human and living in a world that is stained by sin. It means that there's going to be suffering. And as long as people have freedom to choose, there will always be suffering. But the devil does that number on folks, and he convinces them it's all God's fault. But we need to know that our God loves us really more than we'll ever be able to comprehend. In Romans 5 and verses 6 through 8, Paul writes of that great love. He says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Our God loves us, and he is going to give what is best. In fact, in James 1 and verse 17, we're reminded every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. every good gift comes from God. Now again, understand that while we have a God who longs to give good gifts unto us, that doesn't mean you're going to receive just anything you ask for. Earthly parents understand that. When children ask for things, they may long to give them what is good, but they may ask for things not understanding the consequences. We do that all the time. Children don't know the consequences. When I was about 22, I'd just gotten out of college, and I went to camp, church camp, and they asked me to be the athletic director. And as athletic director, your job is you come up with the games everyone's going to play. And really, what all the counselors want you to do is you wear out these kids so much that when they, you know, go to bed, they'll fall asleep. You know, that's what they want. But I came up with this game. We called it crash ball, I think. But what you did, and maybe you played cage ball, kind of like that, where you try to push that big ball up against the wall. Well, we didn't have walls. We just had a line, like a football field. And so, to start this game, I put 10 people at one goal line, 10 people at the other. They're 8 years old, and I had the ball in the middle. And I blew a whistle, and they took off. And when they got close, I threw the ball in the air, and they were supposed to push the ball one way or the other over that line. I didn't know that 8-year-olds have no idea about the consequences of running about 50 yards as fast as you can and someone else running 50 yards as fast as they, right towards you. I had 20 people knocked out. You know, from then on, we had to start everybody in the middle. I really didn't know. But children don't understand about consequences. They may ask for things. A 3-year-old says, "Mom, can I have those scissors?" "Sure, honey, go play. Maybe run some laps with those scissors too." No, you can't have, you'll hurt yourself. God knows what is best for us. And He is going to give us those things that we ask for that will help us to draw nearer to Him. That's His desire. That every day we draw nearer to our God. James 4 and verse 8 says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you." My friends, let's keep asking. Let's keep knocking. Let's keep seeking to draw ever nearer to our God, knowing that He will give those things that will help us every day to do that. I know that you're familiar with this song, written many years ago by Fanny Crosby. That first verse says, "I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and to be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer. Nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side." I hope that as a part of our worship together every Lord's Day, that we're drawn ever nearer to our Lord. One more thought I want to share with you this morning. As we think about this idea of asking and seeking and knocking, and it comes from chapter 7 and verse 12. We are to be our best for others, and we might even say toward others. When you look at verse 12, we refer to this sometimes as the golden rule. But notice how it starts. "Therefore." Whenever you are reading God's word and you come across the word "therefore" or "wherefore," you need to understand that what is about to be said is based on what has just been said. And so because God is so good, because of the blessings that He desires to shower upon us, here's the way we ought to be. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. What he's telling us is that really, all the laws that deal with our relationships with each other, you will obey them if you follow this simple rule. You do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We do this not because people are so good, but because our God is so good. This is the way that He wants us to live our lives. Now, a lot of people get close to it. And we've probably heard this idea, or at least seen it expressed, where people will say, whatever you do to me, that's what I'll do to you. That's close. But that's stated in the negative. You're waiting on someone else to start the proceedings. I'll treat you the way you treat me. If you're good to me, I will give it to you. If you are rotten to me, I'll give it right back. That's not what this passage says. Jesus is the first to state this rule in a positive way. Whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, it doesn't depend on how you are treated. You are going to treat others the way that you would like to be treated. Think for a moment how that changes things in our homes, husbands and wives. When we treat others the way that we'd like to be treated. So often in counseling, I'll hear somebody say something like, well, you know, when she starts doing this, then I will... That's not what this rule says. Yes, but when he does, then I... No, that's not what this says. We get to control one person in this lifetime. And that's ourself. You don't get to decide what other people get to do or what they'll do. We certainly can pray about it. We can help them the best that we can. But they make those decisions. And what Jesus is telling us is, you do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So precious, we call it the golden rule. The Bible doesn't call it that. Man has come up with that title. But the world recognizes how precious this thought is. And Jesus, he didn't just speak those words. He showed us how to do that very thing throughout his life. He was the perfect example of doing unto others as he would have them do unto him. And we're to live this way. I know we live in a world that is very self-centered. And this verse and being self-centered, they won't go together. But we can't live a self-centered life. We have to live a Christ-centered life. And that'll make all the difference. And so here is Jesus sharing these precious thoughts with us about asking and seeking and knocking. He reminds us that we're to be constant in our prayer, that we're to seek the things of God, and we are to keep knocking. We're not going to give up. We're reminded that it is God who knows how to give what is best, and He will provide those things that will allow us to draw ever nearer to Him. And we are going to give our best to others and toward others, living the way God would have us to live, doing unto others as we would have them do unto us. You may recall a few moments ago, I showed you a picture of that fellow from Norway, Dr. Nansen. You see, he went on to get a PhD, and about 20 years after that excursion toward the North Pole, he won the Nobel Peace Prize. Oh, it wasn't for any adventure. He became a humanitarian. And following the Great War, World War I, there was a famine in Russia. And it was through his efforts, his leading these efforts, that they estimate between 7 to 22 million people's lives were saved because of the food that was provided during that period. And he spearheaded that effort. Isn't that incredible? To think of someone's efforts bringing about the saving of that many lives. But folks, think about our Savior and what he did at Calvary those many years ago. In laying down his life, he made it possible for every person to have salvation. This morning, if you're here, you've not yet come to Christ in obedience. You've not yet surrendered your will to him and put him on in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. We want to encourage you to take that step. And if you have, but you've fallen away and you need to come back, we want to pray with you and for you. Will you think about that? And if you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we want to encourage you to come now as together we stand and as we sing.